Hi everybody, it's Stella from The Beauty of Play. A little while ago, we were talking about reading comprehension and the shift from learning to read to reading to learn. And we talked about close reading. We zoomed in on OERs through close reads, and we talked about reading comprehension in general and how to use those three close reads with vocabulary, reading comprehension questions, an overview, and then background knowledge. This week, we are going to continue with the second part of that reading comprehension, but today we're going to be focused on note-taking skills, summarization, and inferences or reacting to a piece of work. I'm going to jump right into note-taking. There are a few different sources that we used where I learned these skills. IAW's middle school years writing course. We did a Level B intensive that I don't even think is available any longer. I went to look for it and couldn't find it on the website. It's only a short segment of the entire writing curricula that they offer. And then excerpts from Learning How We Learn by Barbara Oakley. I've talked about this book before, but she talks a little bit about dual coding, which I'll go over in a little bit, and just Cornell notes and note-taking in general. And then the third source that I am using here is The Cult of Pedagogy, and there's two podcasts that The Cult of Pedagogy did, a note-taking research roundup and Power Lessons note-taking stations. And so I am gathering various pieces of this from each of those, and I'll try to explain where each one of the pieces come from as I go along. So one of the parts of learning from reading is to be able to note take. And to be able to note take, we have to ascertain the main ideas. And IAW's work with summarization in their writing curricula does this really well. What they do is they take a paragraph and have the child go sentence by sentence and choose three words out of each sentence. It doesn't have to be in the sentence, but three words that will jog their memory about what that sentence is. So it's basically note-taking, finding the main idea of the sentence and jotting that down sentence by sentence. And then later, they take those notes and have the child write a summarization. So we combine that with some of the dual coding information that we learned from Barbara Oakley's book, as well as The Cult of Pedagogy. So dual coding is when you take pictures, charts, symbols, or other kinds of illustrations and incorporate those into your notes. I'm trying to think of an example here. One of them that I might use is instead of saying female in our notes, we might make the symbol for female, or male, make the symbol for male, or instead of saying person, we might draw a stick figure. Or if we're looking at something like convection, we may draw a little picture and label one side hot and one side cold and draw a circular symbol to show movement when the temperature changes. But dual coding basically is incorporating pictures and symbols into our note taking. So I also encourage that in the summarization exercise. The second part of this is using these notes to summarize. And if you are using a modified version of Cornell University Notes, they also have that summarization section at the bottom of the note taking. So in IAW's curricula, what they do is after you do the note taking, jotting down the three words for every sentence, you go back and rewrite that paragraph using only your notes. So if this is done the following day or even 2 days later, we're doing two things here that help with learning and retention. One is that we are using our memory recall, using the words that are jogging our memory to re-remember the information that we had learned in the previous day or couple of days. And the second is the spacing. Now we have this material that we're going over in more than one day. We have gone over it, we've been allowed to sleep on it, and now we're bringing it back up the second day. So this exercise from IAW does a few different things. It helps us to learn how to pick the main idea out of a sentence or a paragraph. It helps in retention of the material, especially if we're spacing and doing our summarization the second or third day, and it's teaching us how to summarize a piece of work. Now, over time, we're not going sentence by sentence. We may be going over a couple or three sentences at a time and jotting down a few ideas or words. Or we may be going a paragraph at a time and jotting down a few words to jog our memory about that paragraph. But eventually, we are using that for summarization. And I'm going to pause here and talk about how the skill of summarization is useful in all kinds of different writing skills and communication skills. So not only are we learning skills that are helpful in reading to learn, but we also are transferring some of those skills into writing and communication. So if we're doing something like a book review, one of a huge piece of the book review is to summarize the book in a very short period of time before giving your own critique or ideas about the book. The same thing for history. Anytime you are doing a piece or writing a piece about history, there is some kind of contextualization or summarization of the event, the time period, the person, and the context in which that fits into that time period. The same kind of thing happens when you're working with expository essays or persuasive writing. We are summarizing someone else's work before we begin giving our own analysis or our own thoughts on the subject. But also, summarization for the point that we are using it here in our reading comprehension or reading to learn work is to make sure that we have the main ideas of what we're learning. So let's pause for a second and back up and look at Cornell University Notes. And I'm going to place that video, embed it into the notes so you have a better understanding, and they will go through it in a little more detail. But in Cornell University Notes, you block off the paper into different regions. So there are two columns, one narrow column on the left and a larger right column of the paper. And then there are three rows, basically a large middle row and then a very slim row at the top and a slim row at the bottom. The top row holds information like date, name, subject, various information that gives an overall view of like what the class is, the lecture, the date, and so forth. On the left side, in the middle, is the area for main ideas. On the right side, the largest area of our paper is where actual note-taking is, where we are taking the main ideas, one or two words, symbols that will help jog our memory of the information, and we are actively taking notes during a lecture, during reading, etc., on that side of the paper, in the main body of the paper. Then we're going back to the left side and writing the main ideas out from the notes that we have taken. And the very bottom row is used for summarizing the information that we've just taken notes on. And that summarization allows us to pick out the key points, the main ideas of whatever passage we are reading. Okay, we're going to shift gears now, and we're going to talk about some of Rudin and Language's work, particularly there in the book on the page exercise that they do. And what this is doing is bringing awareness and writing those things down as we are reading our own interaction with the text. So for everything that you're reading, for every text or lecture or conversation or communication, it's two-sided. Even with writing, it's two-sided. We are bringing our own background knowledge. We're bringing our own experience, our own lens, our own information and reaction, emotion to the piece of work as we're reading it. Now, the writer is often using their piece of work to evoke emotions, to evoke images or thoughts, ideas, and to make a point. But the reader also is having inferences from the piece of work, is having reactions, thoughts, emotions to the piece of work. And what they do, they're actually using it as copy work. So you copy the passage, and then you write your thoughts and reactions. So they have it split down the center of the page where you're doing those things. On the left side is the copy work from the passage you're studying. On the right side is the reaction. And they use a book, which is the perfect book for this exercise, to introduce this exercise. The book is This Is Not My Hat. And it's a wonderful book because, one, it's charming and funny, but two, we come to realize that the narrator is unreliable, which is you don't see often in children's books. But through this exercise, you write down what is on the page on one side, on the left column, and then you write down your reactions and thoughts on the right column. It's a wonderful exercise. And it's a funny exercise because in this picture book, you're also able to see the pictures, and the hat is far too small for this little fish, an even smaller hat for the fish that it actually belongs to. It's a really cute book. But what they are doing in this is showing the reactions, your reactions to the book, your thoughts, your inferences, your reactions to the book. They are cultivating that exercise. And I just want to, again, step back and talk about the bigger vision here and how we start to put all these things together. When a child gets to later high school years and early college years, and we are using the three close readings that we talked about earlier, scanning the passage for vocabulary, looking those vocabulary up, doing an overview, what is this going to be about? If they have a writing assignment, they also know the questions that they're looking for. It may not have been written down for them in reading comprehension questions, but if they have an assignment and they're writing something, they have a general idea of the information that they're looking for. So that's part of their three close reading. And I would say, for essay writing in particular, instead of the Cornell University where it has two columns, I would do three. We did three columns, right? We did the left side to jot down the main ideas after the note-taking, the center column to actually take the notes, and the far right side to write down our inferences, our reactions, our emotions. And once you do that for a series of three or four papers, you've pretty much written your essay. All that's left is putting it on the paper and organizing it in a clear fashion, and then going through the editing process. So let's go over pacing for teaching these skills, because eventually, as they get into the older grades, we're going to put it all together. But initially, we have to first teach these skills. And I would teach them, again, separately. I would teach the note-taking in one session and have at least 2 days for that, and then teach the inferences, metaphors, relationships in a different segment, and then eventually bring those together. So for teaching the note-taking, what I have done in the past is to go over a paragraph line by line and do the note-taking. Also talk about dual coding and any kind of symbols or pictures, etc., that you want to draw for that. And then I would wait at least a day, maybe two, for spacing, pull those notes back out, and summarize, or basically rewrite that paragraph using the notes that we wrote before. This can also be done using narration. If you use narration on a regular basis and you are working on teaching close reading skills and teaching reading comprehension, you can use the note-taking as part of your narration. And then the summarization is your narration, and it can go in your main lesson book. The exercise that I was talking about from Rooted in Languages, inference, metaphors, and relationships, or your reaction to a piece, can be done in one day. And also it goes through sentence by sentence or line by line, where you are reading the line or you have it written out in the left column, and we're writing our reactions in the right column. For both of these exercises, you're starting out with smaller pieces. In the first one, you're starting out going sentence by sentence for a paragraph. In the inference work, you're going sentence by sentence for emotions, reactions, thoughts to what you're reading. But as you go along, this grows, and we're not doing sentence by sentence. We may be doing a handful of sentences at a time, or we may be doing entire paragraphs at a time. I hope that I've already made it pretty clear that these two exercises are very different. One of them is note-taking and then summarizing, or basically rewriting what was previously written, but paraphrasing it in your own words. The second is more analysis or opinion. It is reactions to the work. It is definitely not a summary, and it is not note-taking. I think they call it on the page, off the page, but it is inferences, reactions, emotions, thoughts on the piece. Eventually, all of this is going to come together. And I will say, it doesn't really come together until maybe late middle school, early high school. And even then, with early high school, you are working through it with your child. So when it does all come together, you're doing everything together. Everything that we talked about with close reading in the first part of read comprehension, and now these two things that we're talking about here with note taking, summarization, and then the reaction and inference work. It all gets done at the same time, right? So we start with the close reading, looking over the piece, looking at any vocabulary we don't know, trying to get an idea what we think the piece will be about, also bringing any of our background knowledge that we might know about the piece, and then finally reading the piece. Usually we have an idea of reading comprehension questions before, like what we're looking for, even if they aren't written for us. So we have those in mind. And then after we read the piece, we can go back and fill in all the gaps. As we are reading the piece, we can be doing our note taking. So that is happening in one column. And then in another column, the far right column, we are writing our thoughts and our reactions to those. Now, when I did this in high school, I was using note cards for this kind of work. But that system didn't work really well for my son, and he used paper. But one of the things that you have to do if you are just using notebook paper is that you have to make sure that you can source the information or the article that you are getting that from. So he placed that in the left column, the source title. Usually he would number his sources and then just put what the source was, like 1, 2, 3, etc. And he would have a different page that would have a source for all the articles that he was reading. You might have a page number if you're working with a book, but you have to have some way of recording where that information is coming from. And I mentioned before, once we do all those things for several papers or for a chapter of a book, etc., it's pretty easy to summarize and write on that book. But because we have the vast majority of that information already done, the work is already done, it's just organizing it and getting it on paper. Not only is it help us with reading comprehension and reading to learn, but now it also helps us with writing and formulating those thoughts and opinions on paper. So that is all in the podcast today. There's lots of information for you on the page, so be sure to go through that, and I will see you next time. Happy homeschooling.